Well, his name is Lee Zeldin, of course. He is right out of the 1st Congressional District. Big day of events on Friday, which the congressman accompanying the president on Air Force One. We'll find out how that's like. We welcome the congressman to the airwaves on this early Monday. Sir, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. Good to be back on with you.
Good to have you here. I like a little reference by the president in his opening remarks in Brentwood of yours truly. As far as the debate was concerned, you and, of course, former Congressman Tim Bishop, of course, who moderated that debate was me, but who cares about that? It was, I tell you, you got a couple of nice remarks there from the president there, Congressman.
Well, that was nice of him, but, you know, most importantly, it was great for him to be here. I have expressed my gratitude with a number of White House officials since Friday. I thought that the visit went great for those families that have been, they had a loved one ripped apart from them because of the violence of MS-13, and for communities. It's just nice to know the cavalry is here.
No, it was very, very interesting. Listen, the violence has affected everyone. Somebody actually, I had a little bit of a conversation, not an argument, over the weekend about, you know, how maybe it was overblown in the remarks, you know, how Long Island is a battlefield, blood-type battlefield. And you know what? It affects every community. So it has been consolidated, we know, to Brentwood and Central Islip. Nonetheless, it affects everybody here living day in and day out to put up with this. So I really vehemently disagreed with the remarks that I had gotten over the weekend.
Well, and, you know, I was in the Suffolk County Correctional Facility with Sheriff DeMarco a couple of weeks back, and we were talking about this issue at length, and looking at a map of Long Island, MS-13 and other gangs are, it's shocking how spread out they are into hamlets all across Long Island. And, you know, we have all sorts of different challenges we face as a community, and we can't turn a blind eye to what exists, because if you want to eliminate those challenges, if you want to overcome them, you have to be willing to identify, you know, what's real, where it exists, and, you know, there are hamlets all over the 1st Congressional District where MS-13 exists. I mean, there is
even out in the Hamptons, absolutely.
Hampton Bays. They're in the North Fork, and these are people who are known and detained. That doesn't even include the people who are on the streets.
No question about it. And, you know, obviously the attention, we saw Jeff Sessions here a few months ago, the Attorney General. We have seen the panel here led by Congressman Peter King. So we know that the emphasis has been put on not only locally here, but nationally. And, you know, let's face it, I think from a federal standpoint, Congressman Zeldin, things have to be put into play here. And that would include, you know, maybe sharing the names of some of these members with the federal law enforcement, and all with the intent of having them deported if they're here illegally. I mean, let's face it, they commit these types of heinous crimes, and if they are not here in a legal sense, they have to go.
That's right, and the good news is that we have local law enforcement, specifically right inside of that Suffolk County Correctional Office is an ICE office.
Mm-hmm.
These are individuals who some of them have been deported and they return. Some of these people have they're already on deportation orders, but they're still here. They haven't left yet. And then there's also the unaccompanied immigrant minor program, where we were for several years encouraging Central American parents to turn their kids over to a coyote for a dangerous mission. They're held at gunpoint. Many of them, before getting across the Mexican border, they have to smuggle drugs to get across. When they come across, they are given mandatory court appearances they don't show up at. They fall off their grid, off the grid. They go to communities where they're, you have the biggest challenges with gang violence and drug trafficking and other issues. They are completely set up for failure, and we are not doing a service for that Central American parent or that Central American kid, for them to turn over their kid, who they're going to be on that mission, they're going to end up in MS-13, or end up killed, you know, or get caught up with the wrong people once they get here. So the policies need to change, and the enforcement, the enforcement from the local level, and then there's so many pieces in between. And it's also human trafficking, gang rape, drug trafficking. It's and it's also what we can do inside of our schools, our churches, our community groups, strengthening families. There's no one bill I could go down to Washington with that's going to tackle, obviously, all of these challenges. But if everyone does their part, everything goes in the right direction, and you know our communities win. The only one that loses is MS-13.
And you know, not only that, and listen, you could cite the previous administration for the lack thereof, but certainly, you know, imposing some jail time, mandatory time, Congressman Zeldin, for some of these deported, violent, illegal aliens and who reenter the country illegally. So in other words, they're thrown out, they come back, and this is what you have to put into play. I believe it's Kate's Law, and it has to be put into effect in a big way.
And the House has passed Kate's Law. The Senate should pass Kate's Law.
No doubt.
And, you know, our justice system serves many different purposes. We don't want our people to be taking matters into their own hands for justice. And one of the best ways to ensure that that doesn't happen is to have an effective justice system that achieves justice without people taking matters into their own hands. But it also serves for purposes of punishment. It also serves for the purposes of deterrence. When someone sees another person return from a deportation and then get caught and then get punished to a certain extent, that serves as a deterrent. And then within an effective system, we also believe in, and by the way, this doesn't apply to any one person here legally or illegally or any type of crime that's committed, but you know, on a larger point, our justice system also serves for rehabilitation. And the other tool that our justice system serves for is providing intel to crack down on other crimes that are being committed outside, because some of the best sources of information are right inside of the correctional facility and their communications with the outside world.
And also, you know, one other thing, and then we'll move on, and that is, you know, and you've seen this in other categories, but why not a registry to be created, Congressman Zeldin? You know, state-authorized, whatever you want to call it, but really would ban those types of individuals from associating with others in a gang-related area, you know, convicted, in other words, banning people convicted of activity, gang activity, and associating with other gang members. Why can't a registry kind of be instituted here?
Well, if there's a way that you can successfully, on the policy end, successfully word it, flush it out, where it can be implemented correctly, on the policy end, that would be amazing. On the second part of that is you just talking politics for a second. My experience upstate with this state legislature, this state assembly, the current New York State Assembly, I see practically a zero, and I might be optimistic by saying practically, there may be practically a 0% chance that this state assembly would pass something like that. I'm just being realistic there. So it's coming up with a great policy and then selling it. You know, that's something worth pursuing, but having to overcome the fact that in order for that bill to become a law up in Albany, I'm not sure how to work that through that house.
Now we're talking in the spotlight this morning with Congressman Lee Zeldin here, the 1st Congressional District. Let's move on to a couple of other key passes of legislation and whatnot that you have been working on, including that of Plum Island. It is good to see many down in the nation's capital agree to keep it right here, talking about Plum Island, very coveted piece of real estate right here.
And our legislation passed the House of Representatives last week. It goes over to the Senate. This bill passed the House last Congress. And as we're just talking about how a bill becomes a law up in Albany, same thing down in D.C. In order for the bill to become a law, the United States Senate has to pass it as well. Current federal law says that Plum Island should be sold to the highest bidder. But there is a better use of Plum Island. You have state-of-the-art research infrastructure that should be used for great research jobs. 90% of Plum Island is undeveloped. It should be preserved that way, granted some amount of public access. You take a treasure that is Plum Island, which is part of our local community. It's part of our local identity. It feels like a place that's thousands of miles away when you visit it and you see seals on rocks and waters hitting the bluffs, rich military history with Fort Terry there operating until the end of World War II. So instead of just saying that whoever pays or offers up $1 more than the next person should be able to purchase it and do whatever they want with it, especially with local zoning like South Old Town says you can't even develop it, well, why don't we pursue a better path forward that's going to have jobs there? And while other parts of Long Island have been developed, you know, still have a place to go to locally that is pristine and practically almost entirely in its natural state. That's a better path.
No question about it. Good to see again. It is staying put. Also, I thought a very important announcement made regarding the House passage of this bipartisan Culmery Veterans Education Assistance Act, Congressman Zeldin. Really, a unanimous vote it was, but really kind of to improve the benefits, extending them as well, given the veterans as well as their spouses and dependents. I thought it was a very important piece for the vets there.
Yeah, what we have seen over the course of the last few years with the GI Bill is that there were certain components of it that have either been inefficient in the way the program has been operating or preventing people to be able to use the GI Bill benefit who should be able to. And it's been extended. Years ago this was done where you can transfer your GI benefit, and it's made so much sense. It still makes so much sense to allow, you know, a spouse or a child to be able to use that benefit that the veteran earned. But you know, they put a timetable, a limit of 15 years on that. There shouldn't be a 15-year limit. There are, you know, other individuals, Purple Heart recipients, and others where you found all these different constituent cases around the country of people contacting either the Department of Veterans Affairs or contacting their local congressman and senator and asking for assistance in trying to get the GI Bill to work for them and their family. And even though it completely made sense, just the law prevented it. So let's fix the law. Let's fix, you know, all these different tweaks that need to get made to make it work better, and it flew through the House.
And it's good stuff because, you know, again, it's all about the time frame here to me. You know, currently I think there's a 15-year timeline for these benefits, so it'll also provide bill eligibility and those to post 9/11 Purple Heart recipients, also restore a lot of that eligibility for vets whose school maybe closes the middle of the semester and really creates a lot of services, programs to allow some of these service members to take specific high-technology-type courses where it's all at these days. So really a good thing all the way around here.
Yeah, and everything that you just listed, you could just imagine that story of that veteran and that veteran family where it completely made sense for them to be able to use the GI Bill benefit, but contacting the Department of Veterans Affairs or contacting your congressman, working through your particular story, your particular case, at the end of the day, you're told, we can't do that. I'm sorry. You can't use your GI Bill benefit that you earned. So everything that you mentioned is a result of a personal story connected to an American hero willing to risk their life to defend our freedoms. And we're helping those families. They're the beneficiaries. So that alone should motivate every single person to help.
All right, two quick ones before we let you go. I want to talk about this Congressional App Challenge. It's underway right now. I actually started just a few days ago. It goes right through November the 1st. Really created to encourage a lot of students to participate and learn more about science, the field of science, technology, where it is all at, engineering and mathematics, STEM. We talk about that with some of the local community colleges here as far as some of these scholarships and regarding STEM, but really technology, the way to go here. I thought it was a great challenge put forth to the kids today.
STEM is a critical field. It's a critical field in our grade schools, in higher ed, and in other pursuits, with our career technical colleges, and we see it being pushed in Brookhaven National Lab and other places. To that effect, I mean, if you're a member of Congress 20 years ago, you don't have an app challenge where you're encouraging high school students in your district to be creating apps that can be used on iPhones and whatnot. But here we are, it's 2017. It's a new day for any high school student out there who wants to, has a great idea, wants to create an app, wants to compete against peers, show off their talent. I would encourage them to visit my website. You can contact my office, 631-289-1097, and get more information. This app challenge is going on all across the entire country, including right here in the 1st Congressional District. So it's inspired by STEM. It's inspired by a desire to utilize this new technology and get our grade school students ahead of the curve, competing with peers, and realizing this whole other field that didn't exist not that long ago. And fortunately, there's just a tremendous amount of opportunity if a student pursues it to be highly successful in life.
No question. And we have always said these are where the jobs are. Everybody complains, there's no jobs and everything else. You get into this STEM, technological sense of things. That's where the jobs are. That's where the window is. And hopefully people will take advantage of this. Before I let you go in 60 seconds or less, listen, it was a great optic watching you come down the steps at MacArthur on Friday afternoon. I'm talking Air Force One. Just sum it up for us. Give us the experiences of Congressman Lee Zeldin on that flight into the island here from the nation's capital. What was it like? Give us a little rundown on the landscape there of Air Force One.
Well, if you want your imagination to really explore the possibilities, just picture this. I was sitting on Air Force One on that particular day, this past Friday, sitting right next to Reince Priebus and between Reince and Anthony Scaramucci. So it was a great trip. It was a great discussion. Much to the credit of Reince Priebus, we were talking policy, MS-13, healthcare, the rest of the agenda. There was even small talk, but their team was working. And it was great to be there with some of my fellow Republican colleagues from Congress, including Pete King, Dan Donovan, Chris Collins. It's just nice to be able to spend some time with them, with these White House officials, to talk about very local issues, very local needs, so that when they go back to D.C. and they're working on other items, that they always keep Long Island in mind. And we're going to remind them as many times as possible on as many issues as possible never to forget that this president grew up on Long Island, and we need him, as long as he's there in the White House, to be fighting for us in any way possible.
All righty. Well said. We'll talk to you soon. How's that?
That sounds great, Jay. Take care.
You got it.